if it works, it'll be a great thing for the rivers of New South Wales, because this will be the first major change in the environment since we've pretty much been here. It'll give some of the native fish a chance to come back, particularly aquatic plants too, because they stir up the bottom and make it quite turbid, and a lot of the plants that live in the rivers and streams and lakes struggle through the turbidity. So there's going to be, I think, a quantum shift in the next couple of years, hopefully.
Barnaby Joyce called them the rabbits of the sea. Are they really the rabbits of the sea?
I guess they are, in a way that they have a really high fecundity and that they can breed. You know, each carp will have at least 1 million eggs if it's about 2 or 3 kilos. So their reproduction rate is phenomenal, probably way faster than a rabbit would be anyway. So
right. So people see when there's an issue with populations in a species, they're like, we have to get rid of it before carp take over the world.
Yeah, I guess they're the perfect invasive species. They can come in low numbers and in a short time really dominate the system and just take over. And like we have at the moment, it hasn't taken that long for them to get to 90-95% of the biomass of rivers. So,
what species of fish have carp displaced the most in their kind of like continuous reproductive cycle?
That's a really good question, and I'm not really sure I have an answer for it. But I will say what they do is they change the environment, so they make it unsuitable for a lot of fish species. So a lot of smaller fish species which feed on zooplankton, if they make everything turbid, you tend to lose, the zooplankton community tends to drop, and so there's nothing for them. So a lot of the smaller fish have gone. I'm not really sure. That's what we're hoping, I guess, we're going to answer with this. We might see spikes in other fish species rise, hopefully, over the next 3 to 4 years. But it's a bit of an unknown.
So it's initially the Murray-Darling system, right, that they're releasing it into, and that's a large span of area in itself. But then will it cross over into other rivers across Australia? What's the geographical area we're kind of looking at here?
I guess any river where there's carp, they're potentially going to release it into. But the main one is the Murray-Darling, because it is the biggest river system we've got, and probably the one that's most heavily impacted by carp. Beyond that, I'm not really sure how fisheries would go with it, but all through New South Wales, Victoria, South Australia, Queensland, and WA have a couple of small pockets. But yeah, they're pretty tolerant fish, and they can cope with most of the environments that Australia can throw up at them. I guess maybe from a logistical point of view, it might be better to hit one river at a time so you can have a group of guys working on cleanup. Otherwise, you're going to have resources across 4 states trying to clean it up. So,
how can we be sure that it won't kill off the... What do carp swim with? The koi?
The cod, Murray cod, the native cod, Murray, yeah. Cod. CSIRO have done a lot of testing with all the other native fish, and they've tested the fish and seen how they reacted with the virus. And so far, from my recollections, is it's come up okay against everything. They've also tested against birds and other mammals and stuff. So they wouldn't have got to here if it had any sort of impact, because it doesn't even affect goldfish. They're their closest cousin that we've got here. They'll be quite happily swimming around without any impact. So,
how about even just the water? If, depending on how they're going to release this virus, releasing it into the water to affect the carp, what is that our drinking water? What if we then eat the carp that they kill? How would that affect us?
Well, there is a potential on the drinking water side. Yeah, there is. If you have a whole lot of dead fish in a water body, there is a potential for taste and odour issues. You don't want your drinking water to taste like fish. So, and you can also have, as all the fish die, you can have a couple of things happen. One, you can have the decomposing body absorb all the oxygen from the bacteria taking up all the oxygen, so you end up with no oxygen in the water, and then you might end up with the low oxygen killing other things as well. The other one is that if you have a whole lot of fish die, you could potentially have a release of nutrients, and then that could follow an algal bloom. And then you'll have an algal bloom, and algal blooms can be toxic. So they're going to have to monitor this carefully and make sure that they get on top of it in the first couple of weeks when the fish get affected. In China and stuff, it's a main food source. So when they had the virus, it was bad news for them, because they lost a lot of their aquaculture.
So what happened in China with the herpes virus?
Well, I think there's been quite a few outbreaks throughout Asia, sorry, that have happened that haven't actually been released like we have here deliberately. They were accidentally, and so they've decimated their aquaculture. I mean, they've recovered to some extent now, but carp is a major aquaculture fish in China, and there's a lot of people to feed. So
interesting that we're now purposefully trying to infect carp with a strain of the herpes virus, whereas in China it was unintentional.
I'm assuming it was. I'll have to look it up, but I'm pretty sure that in particular there and in the UK as well, where they, I think it was one of the first few places where it was released, they had this issue of fish just dying and, you know, not really sure what it was. So,
well, back to Australia, they're trying to get rid of all of these carp with this strain of herpes. How? How can they use herpes to get rid of all these carp?
It's a virus, but it's quite a deadly one for carp. So it really does take out a lot of the fish, at least 70-80%, sometimes up to 90% will all die within, I think, 48 hours of being in contact with the virus and having the right temperature. So I'd be really intrigued to understand exactly how they're going to release it, because it is epic, the size and the scale that they're going to release this across. So long as they clear them out, they should be okay.
What if the herpes release works well and we get rid of the carp that we need?
Happy days.
What if it works too well and we lose all our carp? What sort of effect might that have on our biological diversity in our waterbeds or in our water here in Australia?
And that's exactly what I'm looking at, is to see what the big change is going to be. And hopefully there will be a period. I know that there's been some news about our native fish saying that they love eating Murray cod, love eating carp, and they do. And so there's going to be a bit of a change in the way the system works, because suddenly you're going to take out a lot of their food source. But hopefully it'll be made up by other native fish coming in, so taking up the niche. Once the carp are out, you'll have potentially more macrophytes and aquatic plants, and hopefully that'll be able to support other communities, such as more macroinvertebrates and other fish species that like living in those areas.